Hi, it's Adrienne Harvey, PCC team leader, RKC2, CKFMS, and Primal Move National Instructor, and I am on the phone with Master RKC Max Schenk. Today we're going to deviate a little bit from our normal topics of discussion and talk to you about a subject which is near and dear to both of our hearts, and that subject would be cheese. That's right, cheese. Anyway, Max, what is your all-time favorite cheese?
Yeah, that's a loaded question. I mean, there are just so many. And if I look into my fridge right now, there is literally some type of cheese on every shelf for every occasion.
Wow.
And that goes from Parmesan to pepper jack to shredded cheese made specifically for omelets and cream cheese used to make desserts that are relatively healthy, but not too healthy.
What kind of desserts are these?
I make a pretty good cheesecake. Actually.
Oh.
I mean, how could you? Cheese, good. Cake, awesome. What could be better than cheesecake?
Awesome. Well, you know, that makes sense. But I didn't know that about you. How long have you been making cheesecake?
Probably only a couple of years. It's more of an occasional thing, but a little bit of cream cheese and honey, and you make a nice little crust out of almond flour and butter with some cinnamon, you're good to go.
That doesn't sound too bad. It's definitely not what most people think of when they think of cheesecake. Might have to try that.
Yeah, and sometimes I'll actually throw some vanilla protein powder in there as well to make it more like a whole meal, since I'm going to be taking in so many calories anyway.
Right. Now, what kind of occasion would you prepare something like that for?
Mostly just on the occasion where I want to have cheesecake. That would be the main.
Okay, so it doesn't have any particular, you know, effects on performance that you're seeking.
No. I do like to do a pumpkin cheesecake around Thanksgiving and such, but other than that, it sort of doesn't matter.
So cheese is apparently a big part of what you eat and your nutrition. A lot of people are not consuming dairy at all. What keeps you with cheese?
I would say mainly the taste of cheese is just so fantastic that why would I want to miss out on something like that? I think that the natural trend for people right now is to get way too caught up in the little things as far as diet is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
You can almost make an argument for why any kind of food is unhealthy at this point.
Right.
You know, there's arsenic in rice, and, you know, all the spinach has Ebola or E. coli in it, and there's just really no winning if you approach all your food like that. So if you just try to get high-quality food or a high-quality cheese, I think you're much better off than driving yourself crazy.
That's pretty close to my approach, especially with cheese. Right now, I'm a little low on cheese. I need to go to the store. But in my fridge right now, I have some raw milk Havarti and some raw milk cheddar, both from Beyond Organic. But the real star of the fridge right now is kind of rare. It's actually, I have some Mimolette, which is very hard to find right now.
What was that last one called?
Mimolette.
Oh, I've never had Mimolette.
Here's the thing. You might not be able to get Mimolette at all. There's kind of an issue right now with the FDA is not letting any more Mimolette come into the United States from France.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's a very traditional French cheese. It's been made this way for hundreds of years. The outside rind is nibbled away by little mites. They kind of let it aerate. You know, normally all the mites are killed before it's shipped, but I guess a couple of them got through. The FDA freaked out and banning Mimolette. Oh, I have some Mimolette that came through before the ban, and I've been just eating little tiny pieces of it because it's great, and I can guarantee you, Max, you would love it. It's very good.
That sounds like it would make PETA's top 10 list of favorite food items. Now, if you can take milk from a cow and then also kill some mice in the process, they would just have a field day.
M-I-T-E-S, not mice. Mites.
Oh, mites. I thought you said mice. I was like, wow, that's pretty harsh. No, that makes sense now.
Yeah. Yeah, mice would be gross. They make a mess of things.
I think we all appreciate the clarification, but you can see how I would imagine that mice love cheese, and it would be a perfect marriage there.
That's true. You could make a very special version of it. It'd be kind of disgusting, but, you know. So, yeah, that's the cheese that I have right now. So I remember we had talked about some goat cheeses in the past, that you had a favorite and I didn't hear it in your list.
Well, let me go over to my fridge real quick and see what I got in here. So the goat cheese that you were talking about was actually a fig goat cheese.
Mm.
That is really fantastic. As far as just a plain goat cheese, Costco has an awesome package of goat cheese there as well. But the fig, I'm really into feta cheese right now in my omelets.
Oh, yeah.
And let's see, I have some Parmesan from Italy, some cream cheese, some pepper jack, sharp cheddar. I have some what's called boschetto, which is like a truffle cheese, which is pretty outstanding. There's a little cheese shop, like a specialty shop, and a Whole Foods no more than a mile away from me, so that's kind of dangerous.
Yeah, I was going to say, where are you getting all these? This is awesome.
And you know, it's funny, too, because I'm not a cheese snob. That's what people, I say I love cheese, and people think, oh, you're a cheese snob. You go to these specialty shops. But I really love just some regular good old Tillamook pepper jack. You really can't go wrong. And, you know, there's cheese for every occasion is all I'm trying to say.
Mm. So what do you do with the pepper jack?
You know, sometimes when I need a quick meal, I buy a pre-cooked whole turkey breast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just slice a chunk of that and slice a chunk of pepper jack and eat it. I'm a big fan of the cold plate, especially when I'm not feeling like preparing a big dinner. Now, I love to cook.
Mm-hmm.
However, I recognize just how important it is when you're busy, you work hard like I do, to have an easy meal option when you just don't feel like it. And I think that really contributes a lot to whether or not someone is successful with their diet plan.
Right.
You know, if you don't have a fast, healthy alternative, you're going to choose whatever the fastest alternative, and usually that's the unhealthiest one.
Right. Now, there's some real truth in that, because a lot of times, like, there's any number of go-to meals that I have access to pretty much, you know, right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a big fan of the cold plate as well. I just did that last night. And, you know, of course, cheese and nuts and usually, like, some kind of fruit, some kind of vegetable, some kind of leftover cooked meat.
Yeah.
It's fun to eat those things, too.
Well, and the truth is, I have about 8 dozen eggs in my fridge right now. And you can take anything in your fridge and make a fantastic omelet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you mentioned you're doing feta in your omelets. What else do you usually add?
Whatever kind of meat I've been cooking, that could go anywhere from sausage to chicken, turkey, steak, ground beef, bacon, etc. Sort of pulled away from the traditional omelet. And I think I've told you this before, Adrienne. That I go to scrambles now.
No, you didn't tell me that.
Well, the main advantage, and there's really no difference in what's in it, it's just the form. I think a scramble, you get so much more of all the ingredients that you want to eat in each bite. So this is something that I've given a lot of consideration, as you can tell. When you make an omelet, you're always going to have spaces in the omelet that don't have a proper ratio of all the ingredients that you're trying to eat.
Okay.
When you mix everything together and have this big scramble with cheese and sweet potato and onion, mushroom, green onion, that sort of thing, you're going to get those all mixed together and have a much better ratio of every bite. So I always end up saving the best bite for last. It's much easier to do this if all the bites are fairly close to uniform.
Okay.
With an omelet, it just leaves it too much up to chance, and I'm not willing to risk that.
Now, what kind of pan are you using for your scrambles and omelets?
I have a large ceramic skillet.
Okay. Yeah, see, I've got a different situation. I don't have a ceramic skillet yet, which I may have to get one now after we've talked. But I use cast iron skillets, and scrambling in those can be a little bit problematic.
I see.
Mine are fairly well seasoned, but you know, one bad session and you're having to, you know, clean up a big mess. What I typically do are, they're almost like frittatas a little bit. They're like a cross between an omelet and a frittata. And so I'll broil the top at the very end instead of flipping it. Yeah, you probably wouldn't be into it as much because, again, there's some stuff left up to chance. But before I broil it, that's when I add the bits of cheese across the top, which are, of course, uniformly spaced so that every bite has a little bit of cheese.
Well, that's good. You know, I would probably use the cast iron skillet myself if I could lift one big enough to feed me.
Yeah, that would. You'd have to get the one that has two handles. Like, there's the regular handle, and then there's the handle on the opposite side, so you can two-hand it.
I mean, they exist. They're just too damn heavy. One way to also ensure that you get maximum food. I know we started talking about cheese, but we really went to my first love, which is eggs.
Well, that's good.
But what are eggs without cheese?
Right.
You can take a large, like, baking pan. Mm-hmm. And you can actually, if it's non-stick and you throw a little oil on the bottom, you can line the bottom with cheese. And it actually creates almost like a crust.
Wow.
Of cheese. But not like a bad texture or anything. You just throw some cheddar cheese, throw some sausage, onion, sweet potato, whatever kind of veggies you want in there. Top it all off with some eggs and mm-hmm. a tiny bit more cheese and spices sprinkled on top.
Mm.
Good to go.
Wow. How long do you bake that for?
Well, like 20 minutes I'll do it.
Wow, that's great. So how many eggs do you typically eat in one of your scrambles?
I usually go with six. A typical scramble for me is one small sweet potato,
mm-hmm.
a few mushrooms, and half an onion all diced up together and put in either coconut oil or bacon grease.
Mm-hmm.
And then I scramble that all together. And as far as meat goes, it just sort of depends on what I have available.
Right.
So I can throw some of the turkey in there. I can throw some ground beef, ground sausage, whole sausage cut up. Doesn't really matter what the meat is. If I'm going to cook the meat from raw, I'll just use whatever grease is left over to cook the vegetables in.
That's what I do.
And then I pour the six eggs mixed together over and add cheese if it's about halfway done cooking and mix that all together and you're good to go.
That sounds great. I'm getting hungry thinking about that.
Well, that's what I'm going to be doing after I get off the phone with you.
Awesome. We'll be doing the same thing. How long have you been making stuff like this?
Years. Gosh, I don't even know. I've always really tried to make my own meal. Initially, it was just because it was cheaper, to be honest with you. I've told you before that I've been working basically since I was 12 years old, so I've always kind of tried to save money growing
right.
up. And cooking your own meals is the easiest way to do that. You can get a dozen eggs for $1.60.
Right.
So it's very good to learn how to cook yourself.
I'd agree with that because I, you know, I'll sometimes do the math in my head, and to get what I want to eat and what I essentially need to eat at a restaurant, oh my gosh. Or if you've ever gone to Chipotle with me and you see what I order and how I order and you wonder why my meal costs more than the typical, it's like, well, let's see. double meat, guac, add guac, sometimes double guac. It can add up, you know, versus at home, you know, getting exactly what it is that you want, you know, especially if you're going crazy with the eggs and the feta cheese there.
Oh, without a doubt. And I mean, what's worse than going to a restaurant and ordering something and then just being completely disappointed when it comes out?
Oh, yeah.
And then you have to pretend like the waiter or waitress did a great job, so now you're going to give them a big tip, even though you completely hated that meal, and you know that you could have done better on your own.
Now, that drives me nuts, because, you know, if I go out to eat, you know, I've built it up in my head to be this kind of big thing, and, you know, sometimes when people see me Instagram pictures of food that I get out, and they are gorgeous, but they have to be, or I'll get angry and be like, man, I should have just eaten at home. Because I eat about 80% at home, if not more.
Oh, yeah. I'm the same way. I mean, I just don't want to leave it up to chance.
Right.
You know, it all starts when you get there and they give you the menu.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to have a panic attack anyway because I'm trying to decipher what's written there versus what's actually going to come out on the plate. So it's always just like a little guessing game. Like, you try to picture, like, how much you're going to get of each thing and how it's going to be presented and if it's going to be on the dry side or the moist side or on the spicier side. And it's, you know, that's where the nightmare starts. So I usually just get sushi when I go out to eat.
Okay, I have a theory, and I'm really curious to see, you know, what your feelings are on this. Recently, I went out for breakfast with a friend, and I ordered a Greek omelet, which, again, feta, spinach. And the waiter asked me if I wanted tomatoes with it. Now, that can go either way. You know, if the tomatoes are not too juicy, if they're dry, like if they've been kind of, you know, you've taken the seeds out and you've patted them dry and added, that can be really nice. But most of the time, They just chop them up and throw them in there, and the whole thing gets watery.
That's a huge problem.
I feel much less neurotic knowing that someone else understands that. Because I asked the waiter specifically, will they be overly juicy? And he's like, no. Yeah, it comes out in a pool of water. I'm like, ah!
There's nothing worse than an egg dish that has a layer of water that it's sitting in. I mean, that's just got to be the worst as far as egg dishes go. Because it's so hard to ruin eggs.
Right.
But that's a way to just ruin it. I mean, why don't they just pour it off in the kitchen before you bring it out to me?
You know, I usually just don't order the tomatoes, even though it always sounds like a good idea, because in my mind, of course they've dried them and taken the seeds out. Wrong.
It's funny, too, because when you learn how to cook, it's awesome.
Right.
Because everything you make is going to be cheaper, so you're going to save money. Everything's going to be better, because if you make one meal individualized for yourself, you're going to make it to your liking every single time, so it's going to be exactly what you want.
Right.
It's a huge deterrent from going out to eat, because if someone says, hey, do you want to go get a steak? I'm going to be like, no, because I'd rather make it myself, and I know it'll turn out better. If someone says, hey, do you want to go get sushi? I'll say, heck yeah, I don't make sushi. That's what I'm going to go get.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about going to get some sashimi in a little bit, because I'm not about to dice up some raw fish in my kitchen today. You know, I don't have those.
Now I have. A friend of mine actually went out fishing and brought back a big fillet.
Ooh.
Like a big tuna.
Wow.
Fillet, like a bluefin.
Nice.
And I remember when I ate it, I actually just had one big avocado and this like 1 pound piece of tuna that was totally raw. And I would just slice a piece of tuna, slice a piece of avocado, and it had literally come off the boat like an hour earlier. I mean, it was just one of the greatest things I've ever had.
That sounds incredible. I totally would have eaten that exactly the same way.
Oh, yeah. It was perfect. I mean, you don't ruin a piece of fish like that by throwing soy sauce all over it.
No, it doesn't need anything at that point.
No, it was perfect.
Okay, well, now that I'm starving, let's... is there anything else you want to add to the cooking cheese and eggs topic that we've gotten on today?
Well, you know, not really, except all the foods that we brought up are really good for pro-hormone production. So people looking to, like, exercise and lift weights need more healthy fats in their diet and need more cholesterol. And all these things that we've talked about have properties that are good for brain function and your skin and your eyes, your joints and your muscles, and especially your hormones, like I said before. So
Right. Just
to kind of bring this full circle, as long as you're not ridiculously lactose intolerant or something like that, I mean, I get that. That's not an ideal situation, but in general, I think people benefit greatly from it and would do well to include more of these in their diet.
Oh, I think so, too. And, you know, there are alternatives. So, like, a lot of people who have problems with cow's milk do great with goat milk, and there's so many alternatives available now. And, you know, like, you even mentioned the Costco goat cheese, which I've had, and it's, you know, it's a very, you know, there's not a whole lot of distinctive flavor with it, but it's got a good, decent flavor and adds a lot to dishes, I think.
Oh, without a doubt. Again, the key is just buying quality food rather than just the garbage you see at the grocery store
right.
in the middle of the aisle. You want to just, you know, I try to have people stick with one ingredient in the stuff they buy. So what ingredients are in this apple? Well, it's just an apple.
Right.
What's in this microwave dinner? 50,000 ingredients that you can't even pronounce. So as long as you stick to things like cheese, apple, ground beef, I think you're going to be just fine. And if you add all the other stuff yourself, like salt, pepper, onion, garlic, that sort of thing, you're just going to be much better off.
Absolutely, and you know exactly what's in there. Because when they add the salt, they always add way more than anyone would ever add at home.
And it still doesn't even taste good. It's just a way to mask bad flavors. So get high-quality food first and then season it to your taste.
Yep.
I think you can't go wrong with that.
I agree. That's good wisdom. So there you go. Maybe one day you and I will have to have a cooking show or something because, you know, this... We have some things in common here and a lot of just, you know, good basics. People think that, you know, sometimes they'll watch like the Cooking Network and they'll see somebody make something with like, you know, 20 ingredients and they think, oh my gosh, I would never do that at home. But what you and I are talking about are everyday recipes that maybe have 3 or 4 ingredients, maybe more, sometimes even less, that really anyone can do. I don't know, we're going to have to explore this some more. Anyway, well, thank you so much, Max, for giving me some of your time today.
Oh, absolutely. I enjoyed it. And I'm thinking some sort of cooking show would be fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, we could have it be like Iron Chef of exercise, you know. Every time you switch pans, you have to do like 10 push-ups or something like that. I think that could be a real winner.
Oh, man. Yeah. That sounds like how I do dishes. Like if I want to wash dishes, I don't have a dishwasher. You know, I'll go, you know, 5 pull-ups and now I'll rinse this thing out. Awesome.
Well, I mean, if you're washing that cast iron pan, you don't need to work out anymore at all, do you?
That must be my secret. Yeah. It's all cast iron. All right, Max, I will catch up with you soon. Thank you so much.
All right. Take care, Adrian.